Hey everyone, I just wanted to let you know before this week's episode that the MacRumor Show will actually be migrating to an entirely different YouTube channel in the near future. And so I don't want to leave anyone behind. And so if you could go over to youtube.com/@themacrumorshow, the link will be in the description down below as well, and subscribe to the channel. So again, we don't leave anyone behind and you don't miss out on every episode and clips and shorts and anything that's related to the podcast will eventually all be posted on that channel. For right now, we'll post here and we'll post over there, but eventually, like I said, it's all going to be moving to that other YouTube channel, and it would mean a lot if you could subscribe. And yeah, thank you so much for watching, and we hope to see you over on that YouTube channel. And enjoy this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the MacRumor Show. This is post-event. We had a very crazy event that we'll get right into here, but of course, I am Dan, and I have Hartley. Hartley, how are you? How are you feeling? Okay. You feeling good?
I mean, I'm feeling good, but I'm also deflated after the event.
Why are you so deflated? What's wrong? You didn't like the event?
No, I didn't. I did not like the event.
All right, well, here we go. 45 minutes to the next hour. It's all you. Take the floor.
I mean, the thing is, I don't like to be overly negative, and I will say that I think I've enjoyed every Apple event since they went all virtual. I do prefer the in-person format, but I felt like every event has been worth it in recent years. I don't think this event was worth it. I feel like this event could have just been a couple of press releases. And what I'd compare that to is in January, when we got M2 Pro, M2 Max, we got the new high-end MacBook Pros, we got a new Mac Mini, we got the HomePod back, all of that was via press release, which is more than we got at this event. So why was it an event?
I don't know. Well, because, I mean, I don't think any new chip was ever released via a press release, like the announcement of a new chip. So my guess is it's a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal in terms of like what this chip can do. But like to the average consumer, no, it's not a big deal. It's just another chip and another boost in performance and yada yada. But there are some pretty intense things that it can do that you couldn't do before with the hardware accelerated ray tracing, the dynamic caching and all of that, which is good for a very specific subset of people though. So it just kind of depends who you are when you're looking at it. I also didn't necessarily care for the event. I don't like being negative either. I don't want to be sitting here, although for those of you who have heard episodes in the past and the comments I get sometimes, people might disagree. Was it, how much of this is driven because of the fact that it was at midnight for you?
I mean the thing is that I think a lot of people expected that because it was a late night event, this must be something special. And with the little finder hint in the event invite, I felt like there was a lot of anticipation around this event because people were saying this has to be something different. And I actually think in retrospect, Apple probably thought they were downplaying expectations by putting it late at night. But in fact, they just caused more speculation, which then if you don't deliver on that, and they didn't even really lean into the Halloween angle. I know they did with like
kind of did in the beginning
a couple of shots, but like they didn't have as much fun as they could have with it. No. And even that is a little underwhelming. Like if they would have given us the same set of releases, but they'd had way more fun with the event, then I would have been a little bit more on board with it because I would have been entertained. Was it an entertaining event? No, I think that other events have been way more entertaining just in terms of production.
Yeah, I mean, well, no. Okay, so if they would have started off the event with a little title card there that said, this entire event was shot on iPhone, edited on the Mac, then from a production standpoint, would I have been like, oh, this is amazing? Because after we found that out, you go back and look at some of the shots, I'm like, wait, what? Like, I had no idea. I didn't even notice. Not one bit didn't notice. I also wasn't looking, you know, super closely. I mean, I guess after you know that, you can kind of tell, like, okay, there's not a lot of depth. There's not a lot of shots that are visually, like, you know, cinematic as they were in the past. But that's because there's some limitations there. But for the most part, I didn't really pay attention or notice anything. So kudos to them for having an insane production with an iPhone. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the most interesting thing in the world. So let's start with the first thing. They, you know, Tim comes out. There's some spookiness. I thought they were going to lean in pretty heavily. They had this nice little dark shot, some fog of his like feet walking up. And he says, good evening. And jumps right into the M3 chip. And so we got all three this time. We have the new M3, the M3 Pro, and the M3 Max. It's the first set of machines to ever, have a 3-nanometer process chip there. So, I mean, that doesn't exist besides these machines. And the only two that we got were the 14 and 16-inch MacBook Pros and then the iMac, which was basically an afterthought after they talked about the 14 and 16-inch MacBook Pros. It's because nothing changed visually except for the new color, the space black, which I was very confused on. And I want to get your thoughts on this. When they first announced it and they did their little, like, tried to do like a sexy video, and then she's like, this is space black or whatever the thing was. I like looked at the image and I'm like, no, that looks like space gray to me. just like a darker thought. Space gray.
I mean, I think since I've seen the in-person images since then, it does look way darker. But in the marketing pictures, it doesn't. Right. It just looks like darker space gray to me. I know some people disagree with that, but I was I was just like, what's going on here?
Yeah, when I looked at it, I was like, no, that's just space gray. Like, you can't convince me otherwise. And then we saw, like, later on, they showed some like real world shots of people using it, and then there were some videos of, you know, the small group of people that were at like a little intimate NYC event. And you could see it there, and it is darker than, you know, and I do like the color. Obviously not any reason to go and upgrade, but you know, it's fine. It's not matte black like I thought it was going to be, but it's closer. I don't know, it's just like, what visually has changed between those machines? Nothing. So it's kind of hard for people to get all up about a processor change. And then, like, to not introduce anything else is rough.
I mean, I think that this is always kind of the way that it is with Mac updates that are in the interim between a redesign. So if we think back to, say, the 2016 redesign of the MacBook Pro, the 2017 model just introduced, I think it was True Tone and Siri. And obviously some new Intel chips. The 2018 model was again just new chips. 2019 model was again just new chips, and then a slight display size increase. These are really small changes. That's basically where we are now with the M2 Pro, M2 Max, M3 Pro, and M3 Max.
Yeah, but those machines didn't have their own dedicated events for
exactly.
Them,
and that's right. The point. That is the point here, is that in the same way that in January it was completely appropriate to give us the M2 series high-end MacBook Pros via press release, why couldn't this have been?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to be a spoil sport because I know people, you know, enjoy settling down for an Apple event and people really like the atmosphere. Maybe I shouldn't be ungrateful, but I just feel a little bit cheated by it.
And I am one of those people. So, like, I it's hard for me to say that I didn't have fun. Like, I had fun up until... And then I was having fun during, and then I was just having less fun as I realized that, like, okay, this is might just be all that we get. And so then it's obviously a hindsight post-reaction of, like, okay, well, that wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be. I think I would have felt less upset about it had it been at 1 p.m. for me like it normally is. It's been a rough weekend for me, so... For me to muster up the courage and strength to be able to go into work at, you know, 8 o'clock at night and to sit through that, which was only a half hour, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But then to, like, sit there and think about, well, what am I going to make a video on? Because this could just easily be a tweet in my end, or a YouTube short, you know. But we managed to make it work. And there are some things that I do want to talk about because – I am going to be posting a video here soon. By this point, it'll already be out. Going over, like, okay, so the M3 or the M2 13-inch MacBook Pro has now been discontinued. So for the 7 people out there that like Touch Bar, it's gone. It's not probably not ever coming back. So you're never going to get a new machine, or at least not right now, with a touch bar. And so that's been replaced by the 14-inch. And I do think that's pretty intriguing because, you know, the baseline MacBook Pros were always the older model with the 13-inch and had the old design. And now there's kind of a huge difference between that and this because you have a complete redesign. Granted, we have known that redesign because we've been using the other models that have had it. But like for those of people out there who are like, oh, I just like the base model MacBook Pro. I've been getting this cheaper one. Now there's a new one. Like, is it worth it? I kind of think so because there's a lot more into the body, into the features and design that you're getting over what you had before.
I actually think that those new base model MacBook Pros are probably the most interesting thing that came out of the event because yep. you're getting the same mini LED display, which is still a really expensive component, and they look great. You're getting ProMotion. You're even getting an SD card slot, an HDMI port. Really, there's upgrades across the board here. MagSafe, there's so much to be gained with these new machines. It's absolutely, if you were among the first people to move to Apple Silicon in November 2020 and you bought that M1 13-inch MacBook Pro,
oh, this is the by all means
machine to upgrade to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm... Go ahead.
No, I was going to just say, yeah, I think it's a great upgrade.
Well, I was just going to say, the video that we're doing, we're looking at M2 to M3, just because that was the last generation. But there's even a case for that. Or if you're just someone who doesn't have either one and you're like, okay, well, I can get this one. It's a little bit cheaper. But should I? Like, how much more support is that touch bar going to get anyways, you know, in the future? Developers, now that it's discontinued, like, why should they go in and fix any issues that have to do with it if, like, you know, I get that there's people still using it, but eventually it's going to be completely forgotten. I would not invest money in a brand new machine that has a touch bar that has just been discontinued and doesn't exist anymore in Apple's future. But yeah, definitely any, and that's what Apple did a lot during the event was all of the target data between the M3 performance and the between the M3 performance was all compared to M1 mostly. They did talk about M2. Well, they showed M2 stats. They didn't talk about it.
Yeah, but that's also what I think was a little bit, it was a little bit deceptive. And I think also that's one of the other things on my list of 500 things I did not like about this event. Because, you know, people that are watching that event are in the tech community. You are not sitting through an Apple event if you are not interested in latest generation devices. And so we care about how different this is to last year's technology, or even this year's. You know, these chips only came out, 10 months ago? And so it matters. If you're telling us that 3-nanometer is a big deal, then explain why over the last chips you just released. And it speaks to a lack of confidence and the fact that everyone was noticing this. And everyone complains about those charts they put up as well that don't have marked axes. So it just, that also fell a little flat for me. I feel like they should be able to stand by their technology and actually explain why generation over generation it is better.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, how much of that is really going to improve the thought process of someone who's just going into the Apple Store and being like, I just want a MacBook Pro, you know, what do you got? Yeah. Apple isn't going to show you like, well, we have these new ones, but if you just look online, you can get a cheaper one. Like, they're just not going to do that. And so they're going to look at, okay, I want the cheapest MacBook Pro and explain to me why this is good. And they'll explain it to them just like they did in the keynote with just a lot less, you know, graphics, basically no graphics.
Yeah, I can see that. I just think that they can't decide who these events are for sometimes.
Yeah,
are they for people that are ultra technical and are like super into the nitty-gritty of what Johnny Scroogey is taking us through with the chips, and he's going at like 100 miles an hour taking us through
that guy
meshing and all of this
love that stuff. Guy horrible for pre-recorded events. He is my least favorite. When they announce him, like, he's coming up and I'm like, no, Johnny, no, I can't do Johnny. My brain can't handle Johnny. He's too smart, and I respect him, like him a lot as a person. This is no disrespect to that, but just his presenting style, way too fast. Like, it's like that. Everyone had that one professor in school where you're just like, bro, you got to slow down because I can't keep up with you.
And it's really detailed, the stuff he's explaining. Yeah. And I would like to understand it in more detail.
Yeah.
I would really like, I believe that the these chips have been tuned for generative AI. Now, that would have been something I would have been interested in. Explain to me how you've done that and why. And what's
different about this chip. They're not ready yet. They're not ready yet, so they can't.
But they have, there was some, like, there was a fleeting line, they mentioned that. And I just feel like you're missing the opportunity here. If you're going to go into the technical detail, then explain that, because you're talking to enthusiasts, but then simultaneously you're marketing this to people that have M1. But if, you know, a lot of people don't have M1, a lot of people who are watching that probably do have M2. And I don't think that the marketing is consistent in terms of the way that they are presenting these chips.
Yeah. Checks out. What do you think about the M3 Pro and Pro and the M3 Max?
Well, this was interesting because these chips are more different to each other than
the year of the
previous
Max.
2 years. Yeah. So this year the M3 Max has more CPU cores. For the first time. So previously, if you bought an M2 Max or you bought an M1 Max, the only difference was that you would get more GPU cores. Now that's no longer the case. It's not so great for M1 Pro and M2 Pro users, though, because the M3 Pro is effectively, in terms of specifications, is a downgrade. Yes, you've got a higher clock speed. Yes, you've got, you know, a different fabrication process, but you are getting one less GPU core, and you are also getting reduced memory bandwidth. Which is quite significant. It's 25% less. So that is not fantastic. And also, even they've done this with the M3 Max, because if you get the lower version of the M3 Max, that has, again, has 25% less memory bandwidth. So it feels like they are, I don't know if you'd call it cutting corners, but they're doing something with these chips to kind of pare back some of the specifications. And I expect that, you know, maybe it won't show up in like graphics benchmarks, but I bet that will show up in multi-core.
Yeah. I also don't like some of the configuration options. And like, but like, I get it. Like, so I don't know. It's a little weird. Like, we finally got for the first time, I don't know when this happened. It could have been when it was initially launched with the 14 and 16 inch models, but I feel like maybe there, you can correct me. The Pro and the Max, being able to get that in the 14 size and 16. That's always been the case, right? Or was there that 1 year? Okay. I didn't know if there was that 1 year with M1 Pro and M1 Max where you could only get Max chips in the larger model. Okay, so good. But you can't get M3 in the 16 inch. You can only get it in the 14 inch, which is fine. I understand why. I feel like that's Apple probably thinks like this is just a waste. Like, it's a waste of, but like, I don't know. Maybe there's people out there who want an M3 baseline, but in a bigger body. You know, there are benefits to that bigger machine. So
I think that then eventually that will be the M3 15 inch MacBook Air. The whole thing with like the M3 MacBook Pro is kind of weird anyway, because that machine, in the same way that people said for years, why are they keeping the touch bar around? It's for complex reasons that are mainly for the marketing name of MacBook Pro. People go into an Apple store and just want something that is, I want a MacBook Pro. I don't care about anything else. It just needs to be Pro. And that is who
they don't know what they're even getting.
But also, it's like corporate customers. They are buying thousands of these machines, and they think we need this to meet us, you know, to meet a certain level of performance for our employees. So they need to be Pro machines. But we're not going to spend a lot on them. So just get the baseline Pro. I assume that is a lot of the reason why Apple kept the machine around, and that is who this will be particularly good for. I mean, now, of course, I actually think this machine is better for a lot of people, because if you want a better display and you have use for HDMI, then this is way better.
Better speakers, better camera, better display, a larger display, not by much, but it's still larger. I like the design better. I really don't like that old design. You have you know, more port options to work with. I mean, there are tons, and better battery. I mean, there are tons of different reasons why it's worth jumping into this and getting out of the Touch Bar, which is why I'm making that video. But like, I don't know. Why limit it at this point? Does it really matter? I mean, you had the options of just making it 14 and 16, getting the M3 Pro or M3 Max across the board if you wanted to.
I don't know. I don't mind that so much because I feel like the whole lineup has got so messy that I'm happy with fewer choices.
Yeah, I guess. Is there anything with the MacBook Pro that else that you wanted to touch on?
I think that the 100 nits brighter display was interesting. They didn't mention it.
I didn't even know this. You're breaking news to me.
Yeah. And that's SDR brightness. So I don't think it'll be any brighter in HDR, but in SDR, 100 nits. So
just a little boost.
Yeah.
But I guess we were expecting that, right?
That was rumored. That was a DigiTimes rumor from like a month ago when everyone said, oh no, there's no way that there could be new MacBook Pros this month.
I was one of those people who were like, that just doesn't make any sense. Why are we going to get new MacBook Pros when we already got them? And I'm still wondering why. I mean, I guess if it's for the conspiracy, which isn't really that crazy of a conspiracy, that Apple just wants to boost some more sales for Macs before the end of the year. Then yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but why couldn't they have just waited and taken this half hour of production? Obviously they'd have to tailor it. But like, you had the scripts and everything written. Why couldn't they have just waited and shot this when the iPad Pros were ready?
They don't need to wait because, like, if you know, we like new stuff. I want the new stuff as soon as it's ready. And Qualcomm is releasing their Apple Silicon competitors, so Apple needs to keep up in that race. That's not the issue here. I think it's just that, you know, you can't trust Apple to not release new products of the same thing in the same year, because especially with MacBooks, because they did it with as we talked about in last week's episode, they did this with the in 2020 they did it with the MacBook Air and MacBook Pro just months apart. They also did it in 2019 because they released the 15 inch MacBook Pro and then the 16 inch like 6 months later. So
I mean,
they do this stuff sometimes,
and there's a reason why they also compared it to M1. It's just like, for those of you who have an M2-based machine, especially a Pro or a Max, like, you're not really looking this way. You probably shouldn't be, for the most part. And so it's not for you. This event wasn't for you, so you could just move along and save a bunch of money and just continue happily enjoying your machine. However, if you were not happy with, you know, the size choice that you had and you got the wrong chip, maybe you needed the Max, then yeah, I mean, this would make more sense because this Max chip looks intense. Like, you're going to be able to do quite a bit on it. It's a powerhouse. So, you know, that's what we went with. It'll be interesting to see. Also, I didn't catch the whole late in November or later in November comment that they did. I'm very confused by this. So they announced everything. And it was like, you can order it today. And most things are shipping out to people on the 7th. So that's Tuesday. But then they said for the Max chips, it's later in November. My target date is November 9th. That's like 2 days later. Why? They could have just said,
don't know why.
I mean, I guess not everyone's going to get theirs if you configure. I didn't do any configurations. So if you do configurations, it does push back the time. I just got the higher end version of whatever was pre-configured. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not that far, but.
And also we're getting benchmarks now that indicate that the M3 Max is more powerful than the M2 Ultra.
Just going to take my studio out, throw that out, throw out the garbage. If you just
bought a Mac Studio when was it, June? Or even a Mac Pro? Yeah,
we're moving too fast.
I mean, I don't mind the pace of releases. Like, I like to see Apple releasing new stuff. I feel like the iMac, which I'm sure we're going to come to next, is an example of them not updating stuff for too long. So I'm always going to complain about leaving stuff unupdated rather than them updating stuff and kind of leaving people feeling a little bit kind of burned by their purchase. I feel like that's a sacrifice worth making. I just didn't like the event. It's not that I didn't like the products. I just didn't like the event. And I feel like I probably should make that distinction quite clear.
Okay, well, let's go to the iMac, because I was very disappointed by that. because there was nothing new. I mean, literally nothing new. They just put in an M3 chip. We had rumors about like the stand on the inside being tweaked. Is that we have no idea if that's true.
We have no idea.
Right?
I mean, I don't know if we would have known that that was a difference. It's a manufacturing change, according to what Mark Gurman was saying.
So it very well could be, but like that has no impact on anything. But that was like, what about the screen on that one? Did that get 100 nits boost? No. So, and also, they didn't update the damn accessories to USB-C, which was quite frankly the only thing that I was really looking forward to, because I was going to buy those up in a heartbeat and get rid of all this Lightning stuff. And they didn't even do that. And you know what? I would have been not okay with, but understanding of the fact that, like, okay, they updated it for the iMac. It's not available yet. They actually do that sometimes. They introduce a new Mac that has these accessories included, and there's, like, some sort of visual difference. Maybe there's a Touch ID on it, and it doesn't, like, come out right away as a standalone product until, like, a few months later. And that's fine. But they're just giving people Lightning versions of this again.
And
like, that's a slap in the face.
Yeah, and it's going to cause so much more e-waste, which is the whole thing that like the transition to USB-C is meant to avoid. So they are now putting more Lightning connectors out there that they know are going to be redundant. So they're telling us about all this environmental stuff at the last event.
But I can make an argument, and I'll put on my Apple employee hat here.
Okay.
Are they? Or do they have a lot of excess units that would be far more wasteful for them to get rid of for no reason, and they're just selling these because then, they didn't change anything, so it's all the same?
Then that's fine, but then that's bad. That's bad supply chain management. And they have had, they've literally had 2 years to run down those supplies, literally like 2.5 years even. So if they needed to do that, they could have. And we're at this point now where even the Apple TV remote is USB-C, but your Magic Keyboard isn't. Every iPad that is a latest generation model is USB-C. Every latest generation iPhone except the iPhone SE is USB-C. So, you know, if you're getting into the Apple, even the new Apple Pencil is USB-C. So if you're getting into the Apple ecosystem, if you're buying a new Apple device across the product lineup, you are going to be getting USB-C. Pretty much, except for if you get AirPods Max, the iPhone SE, the entry-level AirPods, and the iMac. And that's fine with the entry-level AirPods because they're 2 years old. That's fine with the AirPods Max. They're nearly 3 years old. But this is a new iMac. So I think that's pretty indefensible, to be honest. Although I think there is a reason for it. And I think the reason is because they are probably saving USB-C for when they actually redesign that Magic Mouse. Because if they had put USB-C on the bottom of that Magic Mouse, you can just see the memes and the jokes that would have been coming out on Twitter within seconds of, I can't believe they just, you know, they introduced a new Magic Mouse, but it's still got, you know, the port on the bottom.
Happy. You think they're going to change that? Redesigned Magic Mouse?
I think that's the only conclusion I can reach by the fact that they didn't do that. They must have been saving it for a redesign.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's acceptable, though. I still think it's pretty indefensible on a lot of levels when they're telling us about the advantages of USB-C. And they could have really embraced it and given us a sort of universal ability to charge and pair stuff. And they also just could have not, you know, it's the same thing with this environmental stuff, which is it's good and it's fine, but then you're doing other stuff that is sort of directly contradictory to that. So then it undermines it when you're telling me that, you know, the Apple Watch is now carbon neutral. But then why are you not doing something that you definitely could do that is really simple and just put USB-C on those accessories?
Why can't we, like, get some more love on the iMac too? Can't we change up anything, like, at all? It was literally just an afterthought. And by the way, it is quite possibly the biggest change out of any Mac this year in terms of performance, because the only generation to compare it to is an old M1. So, I mean, it's got substantial. If you have an M1 iMac and it ain't cutting it for you and you want to get another one, by all means, upgrade. This is going to be a huge improvement.
Especially that new GPU.
You're getting kids that want to play some games, and
really big improvements. And even, you know, there's little sort of future-proofing things, like you've got Bluetooth 5.3, you've got Wi-Fi 6E. You know, that's all good. It's just, it does feel like they wanted to spend as little time and energy as possible pushing out this update, which I think is a little bit ridiculous considering that they have had 2.5 years to work on this update. We have had, since this machine came out, the M1 model, we have had, well, 3 MacBook Pros have been announced in that time period. Mm-hmm. 3. So
2 Mac Studios.
Yeah. The Apple Silicon
Mac Pro. A new Mac Pro.
Yeah.
A new Mac Pro. Yeah. I mean, they've made a new Touch Bar version and then got rid of the Touch Bar. So a lot has happened in that time frame.
And you think that in that form factor as well, they should be able to get M3 Pro in there. That was rumored at one point that there would be multiple chip options. And that also would have been something that was interesting, providing a slightly more, you know, they do that for Mac Mini. So if they do that for a, you know, a desktop Mac like that, why can't we have a more powerful chip option in the iMac?
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a 27-inch version sitting around somewhere with an M3 Pro that's got like a darker color option available for it. I wouldn't be surprised. And that's what they should just do at this point.
That's what we're expecting for about 2025. It will be a 32-inch display, and probably with whatever the chip at that time will be, but with a Pro and a Max variant. And that's probably where you'll get your darker color options and all of that sort of thing. Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me if that is only then that we get the USB-C accessories. Because this
felt, it was provocative. We can't go 2 years.
Oh, they can. You know they can.
No. I'm putting my foot down. I will not allow it.
Well, I wish you could stop them. I wish you could stop them because I also wanted a new keyboard and I wanted a new trackpad. And now I feel like I want to get it because I didn't get the one with Touch ID. And my current ones are like, I don't know, like 7 years old, you know, the lettering's wearing off the keyboard. I want to buy a new one. And am I really going to walk into an Apple store and buy something with Lightning at this point?
I guess you will.
Yeah, I will. I am going to have to, and I'm going to feel stupid.
Well, we are complaining about something that needs to be charged once every like 6 months. So, I mean, it is not the biggest deal, but like I'm trying to get rid of all this like Lightning stuff, man, or at least give it to like my family members that still have older devices that have been constantly asking me for new cables. So I don't know. Yeah, so the iMac, you know, just has M3 chip, still looks the same, still the same hideous front.
Could have been a press release.
With those bad colors, definitely could have been a press release. Definitely.
And, you know, even the other announcements that were rumored were going to be quite small, things like the iMac, these things like the iPad Mini, the iPad Air, and we didn't get those. We didn't get anything. We didn't even get. I think that they also could have updated the Mac Mini. Let's be honest. They updated the chips for that machine, so they definitely could have done that. I understand not doing a new Mac Studio, but they definitely could have done a new Mac Mini, and iPad Mini, they could have done. iPad Air, they could have done. And why didn't they save the Apple Pencil for this? Even that would have made this event feel just a little bit more worth
it. Well,
if
they had
pre-announced the
Apple
Pencil.
It's all about the Mac, and you don't use the Mac. You don't use a pencil with the Mac, so I get that. If they were doing iPads, like if they did have a couple of iPads, then yes, this would have made more sense.
I still could have completely seen them opening the event with, you know, here's how the iPad is really popular in education and people love the entry-level iPad. Here is a new Apple Pencil for those customers. And it would have just been a little intro, just something to warm us up. And we would have then not felt quite so like there was just nothing. There wasn't even anything for services. They didn't even, you know, I used to complain when they used to overly plug Apple TV stuff. There was, I mean, I know they like showed like a clip of something, didn't they, on a screen cropped in. It actually looked pretty bad. The way they presented it with like the iframe of the device around it. But
nice.
You know, there wasn't even a trailer for something on Apple TV Plus. There wasn't any
no AirPods. By the way, like right before the event, there was a God, was it on? Might have been 9to5 made a story about, and did we do this? Lamar Wilson, YouTuber, great guy, cool dude. got like a package from Apple, like hand delivered, he said in his TikTok, hand delivered package from Apple, which is very interesting. I'm not saying that he's lying. I have no idea. He doesn't strike me as a type that would lie. He doesn't need to. He's doing very well without needing to fabricate any stories. But it just was, it was strange. So he said Apple hand delivered a like gift package, which Apple doesn't do usually. Other companies definitely give people gifts and like say enjoy the event. Pixel has given us like popcorn and like things to eat, and like the new phone alongside it, and like enjoy the event and all of this. Apple gave Lamar Wilson a set of AirPods Max, and so they're, and like said enjoy the event. Hopefully this will make some things more spatial, or I don't know. They kept like making puns of like, so we thought maybe there might be some AirPods Max happening, like a new set.
It could have just been some music. Like they've done that at Apple events before, where they have a live performance of something, or I mean, I guess this wouldn't be live, but they could have provided a, even just get an artist. Like you have Apple Music.
Yeah.
Just say we're ending the event with some music for your spatial audio.
But the only strange thing about
it just all felt so low effort.
Well, and the strange thing about that whole like gift thing is like, one, they don't usually do that. They gave him a new set of AirPods Max, so immediately I'm like, well, if those don't have like USB-C on them, or if there's like no new feet, like it's not, he wouldn't have been able to talk about them if they were new. So those are old. So we're not getting new AirPods Max. They wouldn't have just given him that. And also, I didn't see anyone else get that. Like it was just, I felt like it was just him. So I don't know. I don't know what Apple did everything weird with this entire event. But the products are fine. So again, we should probably re-highlight that. You know, there's nothing wrong with the new machines and stuff
and
that we're announced.
And I'm quite, you know, excited by the M3 series of chips. I'm really interested to see what they can do with M3 Ultra. The iMac is underwhelming, but just because of how long we've waited. If this had been an M2 machine and it came out last year, fine. You know, some people will love this iMac. It's just the way that it was announced as though it was a big deal, when we've had things like the AirPods Max, like the AirPods Pro. These things weren't unveiled at events. The entire AirPods Pro was done by a press release when they first came out. All of that, the whole conception of these new devices, the HomePod was re-released via press release. And yet the iMac just with a single chip bump, not even a new color option, gets stage time.
Well, if you're going to give stage time to one Mac, you might as well throw that in there too, just to beef up the runtime a little bit. I get that, but it's like, none of this needed to be an event. I get why they do the M3 chip, because they have to explain why it's so much better. But like, I don't know. I would have been fine with just reading.
If I was, you know, in Apple's marketing department, what I would have done is I would have sat down and I would have looked at these announcements and I would have said, let's do a 20-minute YouTube video diving into these features. You barely would have had to have cut down the runtime from the actual event, to be honest. Drop it all in the middle of the day, and you would have got a little bit less hostility from me, at least. I think everyone else doesn't seem quite so angry about it, but maybe I'm just...
I'm sure there
annoyed.
Are people... I've already seen people tweeting about how the shot on iPhone was where they're like, how is this shot on iPhone when you have thousands of lights and gimbals and dollies? And I'm like, well, I mean, those do not produce video images, people. The iPhone does. And you can't expect Apple to just put one light like I have here and take their iPhone and handheld walk it around Tim Cook. That's not how this works. And no matter what camera you're using, I guarantee you, they're still using all of that stuff with the camera. It doesn't matter. You need to stabilize. You need audio. You need lighting. That honestly is just a good lesson of, it's not always the camera that is the most important part of production. So Apple didn't lie when they said shot on iPhone. It was legitimately shot through an iPhone. They used no extra lenses. They used nothing. It was just... actually, they did use the Blackmagic app, I feel like I saw in that like behind the scenes, which is also kind of funny. Like, they didn't even use their own camera app, but you can't because it's so severely limited. You know, yeah. I mean, they shot it the way they said they did on an iPhone, which is very impressive. What do we have next then for the rest of the year? Nothing? This is it?
Yeah, I don't think we're expecting anything else at this point.
Is that pencil on sale yet? Can I buy it yet?
I don't know, actually.
It wasn't on sale when it first was announced.
No, it was not. I don't know if it's
iPad.
So it looks like it's going to be
a
quiet end to the year. In previous years, we have had, I mean, the AirPods Max originally were a December release. It's not unheard of in the past for Apple to do some things in November, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen this year. Everything is waiting for 2024, when we're going to have, I hope, a much more interesting year with
Apple Vision Pro.
Vision Pro with Apple Watch Series 10, the OLED iPad Pros, a bunch of new Mac updates. We'll get the M3 versions of the MacBook Air, presumably the Mac Mini as well, new Mac Studio, probably new Mac Pro, new iPad Mini, new iPad Air, new entry-level iPad, redesigned Magic Keyboard for iPad, and then who knows what else? New stuff for services, maybe Apple Pencil 3. I think there's loads of potential for next year.
You mean this wasn't like the whole heavily rumored iPad and the new Pencil? That wasn't the Apple Pencil 3?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Weren't we supposed to get new iPads? Wasn't there like a very concrete report out there that said we were supposed to get new iPads? It didn't come from us, but we got...
The rumor community has been through the mill this past month. It feels like we've been expecting one thing, then expecting another, then we're not expecting that anymore, and now we're expecting something else, and then we just get a random event and max that we actually got updated in January.
Yeah, I should rephrase. It's not like we're never wrong. I mean, it happens. People get wrong stuff all the time.
But I feel like things have got more messy in recent months. I don't think I've seen the kind of Apple rumor community.
I thought we were
confused as it was recently.
Sure, but I thought all the stuff that we were like constantly talking about and saying like this is going
to happen. So 2 weeks before the event,
at the
we
event,
were not expecting
pretty much happened.
Any sort of event at all. And we only really had wind of some sort of Mac related announcement. It was not clear what that would be. If you go back a week before that, we were talking about how the MacBook Pros were coming out next year. If you go back before that, we were expecting iPads, and we were not expecting any sort of Apple Pencil. If you go back before that, we were talking about different iPads. So it feels like things have got very confused. I don't know why that is. It feels like there's been a lot of contradiction and a lot of confusion, which, you know, it's not, we don't want to mislead people. No one in the Apple community does. I don't think it's intentional. I don't think it's anyone's fault, really. I just don't understand why there has been so much confusion and very reliable people saying this isn't happening. And then it is. And then they change their information, and they're obviously getting new information to update that. So it's interesting. It's an interesting time, at least. I don't remember a time, at least as far as I've been doing this, that things have been quite so messy. I don't know what you think. I don't know if some people find it a little bit exhausting. I find it intriguing.
I might be a little bit of both. I get exhausted talking about the same stuff over and over again. I just kind of want it to happen. But like, I am intrigued with like what is correct and what's not. And so like, once we got a wind of an event, and I've been making videos about it, like all the stuff that we could expect, I felt like most of the time we're pretty good about, you know, major things that happen. So, yeah. So this is it. This is all the stuff for the year. Before we wrap, I will ask you, what is the one thing that you are bummed about that didn't come out in 2023 that you're looking forward to seeing in 2024?
Can it be something that wasn't rumored for this year?
I guess. I'll allow
it. In that case, I'm going to go for the... Oh, it's tricky. I've kind of got two things in my mind. But
go ahead, Sam.
It would be the Apple Watch Series 10. Next year, this redesigned model. and probably the OLED iPad Pro, because also it's due to be a redesign. And that iPad Pro from 2018 is so good. It still feels so modern, even though it's actually quite an old device at this point. So I'm really interested to see how that evolves.
I'm probably in the iPad market, but also I just like, can we get new AirPods Max, please? Can we see some updates to it?
I don't know if you've seen the rumors about the new AirPods Max, but you're not going to be happy.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Can't wait to talk about this at another time.
Yeah, this is probably our single most negative episode, but I promise we're not always like this.
I mean, negative or realistic? I feel like
sometimes it's okay to be critical. Sometimes it's justified.
Most of the criticism wasn't even because of the products. And so, like, Apple shouldn't even be upset about that. Like, it's not like I'm saying don't go and buy any of these products. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. These are definitely both worth the upgrades. It just depends on what you already own, which is the case for 99.9% of the products that get released year over year. But if you got an iPhone last year, you probably don't need the iPhone this year, unless X, Y, and Z. But if you're an M1 user of any machine and you're like, what's the M3 going to bring me? Is it worth it? Probably, yeah. I think it's going to be worth it for you. So yeah, it's just the whole way it went about was like a little like confusing to me, and definitely for you. And so I would love to hear from everybody else. Let us know. Comments, Twitter/X. Anyways, we'll catch everybody in the next episode.